The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. 2 days in a row, so if that's not enough for you, tomorrow as well, and Thursday, 4 days in a row. The world is never going to be the same. We're going to make it spin off its axis here. Anyway, fill it in for Walker yesterday and be with you again tomorrow. But man, so much happening. I'm thinking about some of the things we talked about yesterday and just the whole trust the guy in the room thing. Recognizing that you've got the guy, right guy at the table, making the decisions about how far to push, when to pull back, how to get the right people to the table. And what was it, 2, 3, 4 hours after we went off the air yesterday and Trump's announcing a ceasefire already? I mean, this is remarkable, folks. I mean, it could literally end up being exactly what he's already dubbed it, the 12-day war, of course, reminiscent of the 6-day war. Who would have thought? I guess it's just one of these things, you know, that there's so much about what Trump does that you don't see coming. There, you know, you think he's just being, you know, blunt and brash, and often it's actually playing a hand that is distracting everybody with their focus on the bluntness and the brashness. And then you find out he's, you know, working on all these things on the side. So anyway, I said last night after a lot of these announcements, I'm like, look, there's not going to be, my biblical perspective tells me that there won't be true peace, lasting peace in the Middle East. This is Ishmael and, you know, Isaac and Ishmael we're talking about here. So all of this is always going to be temporary, even if it's just for a day or two or a few days or whatever it might be. Could it be years? Could he ultimately produce some sort of a deal here that lasts for, you know, a generation? I don't know. He says he's not for regime change, but, you know, if they, you know, break the ceasefire and do a lot of the things that probably is going to happen, he may change his mind on that. And again, I'm not sure that's not what he really wants. Anyway, so a lot of this is happening in real time. He's, you know, convincing the Israelis to not continue to have an incredibly well executed offensive is in and of itself takes a lot. And then, of course, you know, getting any kind of a promise that the Iranians will actually stick to is, of course, going to take a lot. But I will repeat something I said yesterday with regard to the way Trump presented this last Saturday night. You know, when I was traveling last Saturday, so a lot of this stuff was happening while I was in the air and when I landed and was trying to catch up with what had happened. I just had a chance to watch the short press conference or pieces of it, even as short as it was. And the way that he said what he said about no other military on the planet could do this, I think is a message to the world. And so this is about way more than just Israel and Iran. This is a message to Russia. This is a message to China. This is a message to the American people that we will use the tools at our fingertips to have peace through strength. We did not save the world from Nazism and communism and despotism just giving speeches. We had to fight. We had to fight World War I, World War II. We had to fight the Cold War behind the scenes. All of these things took leaders with the courage and the wisdom. That's the part we really got to pray for, because this is so dicey. But we've got we had people throughout our history, thankfully, that God used at key moments in time to be willing to stand up to the bullies, to be willing to stand up to evil. And as a nation, America has been an incredible force for good because of using that power, because we had an economy that was incredible and something the world had never seen because of its foundation in biblical principles. We were able to defeat those evils that came along. And I think we lost sight of that over the last 20 years, maybe 30 years. I think because of some of the bad decisions and because of some of the poorly executed military actions and plans, people lost faith in the institutions and lost faith in the goodness of America. We saw some of the evil that was perpetrated by corrupt politicians and corrupt bureaucrats and corrupt leaders, and it caused us to start wavering in our conviction to say, I'm proud to be an American, or wavering in our conviction to say, hey, we're the good guys. We're going to use this power for good to stop evil, because let's be honest, there were times when we actually funded and supported and propped up evil. There were times when we actually perpetrated evil. So I don't ignore any of that. I'm not one of these people that just does the Pollyanna, wave the flag, and America's always the good guy. I think we have to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think we teach it all. I think we analyze it all. I think we have to be open to study those things and you know, dig out the corruption and point it out and not run from it. But overall, on balance, you take the American story with warts and all, the good, the bad, the ugly, there's nothing close. I mean, frankly, the children of Israel would be the closest. And maybe if you take the entire story of the children of Israel, you have to say, okay, their story is even greater. But I just think that we have forgotten that on balance, what's happened through the United States and because of the United States in even the last 50 years, let alone the last 100 years, the entire world has benefited. And how many times have our men and women been willing to put themselves in harm's way, lay down their lives, not just for their friends and their fellow countrymen, but for their fellow human beings around the world, to help them get out of tyranny or to stop tyranny and draw a line in the sand and not let it spread any further across the globe? I mean, how many times America has been willing to be that force for good? And it's not just that people around the world forgot that. We forgot that. Americans forgot that. And even were taught the opposite. We allowed our education system to use our dollars, our money, to indoctrinate people to think that America's evil. To basically teach the same thing Iran's teaching their kids and Hamas is teaching their kids. That America and Israel are the great Satans, that we're the bad guys, when we're the ones trying to save lives, trying to allow for peace and prosperity, doing everything we can to keep the world safe. So it is a travesty, and frankly, our own fault that our own education system taught our children to hate their own nation and not realize what an incredible force for good it has been. This is why you see the riots in the streets and the protesting and the No Kings rallies and the Black Lives Mafia rallies and the Antifa and all of that nonsense is directly downstream from an education system teaching them that they should be in the streets, that they're actually protesting evil America. America's been imperialist or whatever nonsense that they've taught, and so unfortunately we didn't do enough to fight back against that. And I hope that's turning, and I'm hoping that this moment, this historical time of the last 48 hours, 72 hours, I hope that this is a reminder of how powerful America is, but how she uses that power for good, not for evil. You don't see America saying to the world, I mean, think about in 1945, we could have said to the world, look what we did to Japan, look how we used that power to stop them from perpetrating evil and attacking us and doing the things that they were doing. We use that to stop them. You see the devastation. Now, we will use that against anyone in the world that does not submit to us. I mean, we were the only superpower at that point. We're the only ones with the bomb. So we could have made the world our slaves. We could have caused the entire world to bend its knee to America. And instead of doing that, what did we do? We took our money and we went and rebuilt the very nations that had attacked us, and we gave them their freedom. Now, that in and of itself is a story that should be told with pride, should be told with a sense of patriotism. And instead, what do we teach kids today? That America was evil, that America killed all these innocent people and used the bombs, and that we became imperialistic, and that, you know, what land, as Colin Powell reminded everybody two decades ago, what land have we ever asked for in other nations? Only enough to bury our dead. Only enough to be there to protect them. Only enough to, I mean, I just think we have got to do better at telling the American story and the force for good that we are. And I think what's happening right now, because Secretary Hegseth and Marco Rubio and President Trump are articulating the goodness of America and why you would want to fight for America, I think we're seeing a resurgence. The reason you've got these record recruiting numbers in the military right now is because that pride and patriotism is coming back. And we're starting to get that, you know, sort of like previous generations of Americans that, you know, wanted to serve their country because they love the values of the country. We're starting to get that again. And I like to, you know, constantly come back to the 250th and the fact that we, you know, during this next year, we're going to be celebrating the 250th of the country. The 250th of the Declaration will happen a year and a couple of weeks from now, or a year and 1 week from now. And I always like to take people to the actual language of the Declaration, that they are declaring the causes which impel them to the separation. And the cause that Lincoln talked about in his Gettysburg Address, that you have an increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. Well, if we teach the causes that caused us to separate from England in the first place, the cause that people are willing to die for, it's essentially summed up with American exceptionalism. It's essentially summed up with, we hold these truths that we believe in right and wrong. It's summed up with the idea that not only is there a creator, but our freedom and our rights come from our creator and must be lived out with a respect for the authority of our creator. It's summed up with the idea that we get to give or refuse our consent to government. Government doesn't tell us what to do. We tell government what to do. That's the whole idea of that, to secure these rights, governments for instituting among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And if we teach those things and we remind people that that's what America's about, that's the cause that so many have been willing to die for, it will inspire another generation to be willing to do that. This is not a nice way to say this. A nation doesn't survive if its young men are not willing to die for it, not willing to die for its values, not willing to lay down their lives so that others can enjoy that, so that their children and grandchildren, their posterity, can have that freedom. And we came dangerously close to reaching a place in America where our young men, certainly the good ones, were not willing to sign up and go serve. And instead, all we were getting were the ones that were getting the, you know, free education or getting the, you know, whatever. And that would have ended disastrously, because then you end up with the top brass being like that eventually, and you end up with the philosophy of that power now being all about, what can I get for myself? And so if you take the power that you just saw used by the American people over the last 72 hours, if you take that power and you put that in the hands of people that are self-interested, that are now going to put self above country, which is essentially what you had with the Biden administration, when you put that kind of power in those hands, you can expect absolute chaos. And had we stayed down that course, stayed down that on that path and continued to go down that course, we would have ended up being worse than the communists and the people of the last 100 years that killed 100 million people. It would have been worse because of the level of power that we had. So if the communists had won, if Marxism had taken over our country, oh, can you imagine that power in those hands? But thankfully, thank you, Lord, that you gave us a reprieve, that you turned this nation back over to people that understand the greatness of America is because of the goodness of America. It's because of the value system. It's because of the biblical foundations of our country. And so as a result of that, you have leaders that are willing to turn around and use that power for good. Use that power to stop an evil leadership like they have in Iran from getting a hold of a nuclear weapon. That's the real lesson here. And we can debate a lot of different things. Yesterday, we talked about the constitutionality of this and the historical precedent for this and whether it's the right or wrong thing and trust the guy in the room. And would none of us want to end up in World War III or drug into a 20-year deal? Well, all those people that were saying this was going to be World War III and a 20-year quagmire and all that, I mean, what do you say to you know, 72 hours and a ceasefire and potentially a peace deal. We'll see where it all goes, but man, I'm impressed. I mean, I'm not impressed easily, folks. I'm impressed. I'm wondering if you are. Quick break, 888-589-8840 is the phone number, 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Would love to hear your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. Call in. It might be about Iran-Israel. That seems to be the topic of the, sorry to say day, but the topic of the week and maybe for weeks to come. Could be on the verge of very historic changes, or this whole thing could quiet down very quickly. We might may or may not have taken out their nuclear capabilities, and you know everybody goes to a somewhat quasi-normal, and the regime doesn't change, and Iran continues under a tyrannical government, but less able to cause the problems around the world that they've been causing and less able to do Israel harm. That could be where we end up. Or it could be that they are so weakened by the time this thing is over that there is the potential for a regime change. Now, of course, this phrase regime change that everybody's throwing out there, and even the president, President Trump, saying that he's not pushing for regime change, but then also saying if the people of Iran want it, then they should go for it and get it. I think deep down, of course, he wants it. This is a horrible regime that does evil, evil things. And I mean, women especially are basically cattle in Iran with the way that they treat them. And so, you know, it would be great if they could have not just a regime change, but a fundamental change in the structure and the principles and all of those things. I think that one of the challenges, and Walker and I talked about this last week, is that you've got, you know, 50 years nearly of the same type of indoctrination in the education system that you have in, you know, the Palestinian Authority with Hamas. I mean, you have 50 years of teaching children that Jews are evil and that you need to kill Jews and that America's evil and you need to kill Americans. And I mean, you've raised these children to believe in that. And so you've got multiple generations that have been indoctrinated with that. And that is their, you know, the cancer of Islam that has become not only their religion, but just their obsession, their absolute obsession with wiping Israel off the face of the planet. And so how do you change that regime and actually change that mindset? And, you know, I think it's wise that President Trump is not making that the goal. I think that was one of the areas that Bush messed up back in the response to 9/11, was that the desire became changing the mindset and the regime, not only toppling Saddam, but you know somehow convincing the people of Iraq to crave freedom and love freedom and love the principles of freedom that we're so used to here in America. And that is an incredibly difficult thing to do. You cannot force that on people. There has to be an overtime. I mean, take even with Japan, you know, when Deming went over and the education system there, he's teaching them the principles of free enterprise. And there it took, and what was it, 30 years? Well, let's see, 30, 45. Yeah, roughly 30 years later, 40 years later, they're dominating the auto industry. I mean, that's pretty remarkable that those principles would take hold that fast and in a generation completely turn that around. It's much more difficult with the Middle East and with a country like this where the religion of this radical Islamic mindset of killing Jews and all the things that they teach, that is a much more difficult thing to turn around and basically to eradicate and to just get that dig out, that sickness. And so I am not holding out hope for that. I, you know, God bless them if that happens. It's certainly the peace dividend that would give to not only Israel but America and the world would be phenomenal, because they are, in fact, without question, the chief funder of terrorism around the world. But that's not, the president's made it clear that's not his stated goal. The stated goal is to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons. So I don't know. I still have not seen, and maybe I'm just not looking in the right places. I still have not seen any, you know, firm confirmation that that was done, that the bunker busters worked and that they got actually destroyed all the facilities, and not just the entrance to the facilities and the ability to do the research that they were doing quickly, but actually destroying the research itself and destroying the facilities. They say that that's happening. They say that they were even, you know, we're hearing little maybe leaked reports of that sort of thing. But I just want to say, if that's true, if they get to that point, if they actually set them back 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe even a decade, you know, that would be mission success for sure. And then, of course, if you're able to give Israel a peace dividend from Iran, you know, where you've got a strong enough America that has shown with what Donald Trump did on Saturday night and the American military did on Saturday night, showing Israel that, hey, we can be there in, what was it, 32 hours, 36 hours, literally launching from Kansas. I think that's where they were. I mean, folks, that's remarkable. This is not, you know, Ed Rush, a friend of mine that does Flashpoint with me, a show I do on Monday and Tuesday nights. Ed Rush was talking about this last night and just pointing out how incredibly miraculous it is that the war game has changed that much. And Ed was a fighter pilot, and he was just talking about how, you know, instead of having to transport an army around the world and have a base that you can launch these kind of flights from and all that, to be able to take off in the United States and refuel along the way and carry out a mission like this, I mean, that tells the whole world, do not mess with America. Do not harm Americans around the world. I think that dividend from this particular mission is going to be significant. I think that makes Americans safer everywhere in the world. So this is way beyond just stopping Iran from being able to get nuclear weapons. This is a president that has shown American strength and told the world, we will use the power that we've been given, as I was talking about in the first segment, for good, and we will use it to stop evil. And that ought to make you feel good as an American. That ought to make you stand up and salute and stand up and get some goosebumps whenever the national anthem is played and we do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, this is the America that frankly a lot of us grew up in and that we started wondering whether or not it still existed. This is the America that we started to think for a while there, I'm not so sure that we're the same place we used to be. In fact, I remember Matt Walsh coming to Patriot Academy years ago, probably 5, maybe 8 years ago, and he said to the Patriots, he's literally right there, Patriot Academy at the Texas Capitol, and he says to them, America is not a great nation anymore. And then just, it was silent. And the whole room's going, wait, what's he saying? America's not a great nation anymore. And he goes, a great nation does not kill 60 million of its own through abortion. A great nation does not export to the rest of the world this radical gender ideology and pseudoscience, and just goes down the list of the evil things that America's done over the last few years. And it made these kids and me sit there and say, okay, this is what he's saying is right. Now, what do we do to make America great again? I mean, this was. It might have even been 10 years ago, because it was before President Trump came along. And so it was before the Make America Great Again theme. But it made us think about it. Yeah, I think it was actually like 2013. It was when Walsh was not even, you know, didn't have a TV show or any of the things with Daily Wire. He was just doing the column that he had with 5 million people reading his column. And it really started making me think, okay, I have pride in America. I'm thankful for the evils that we eradicated over the years. How do I do my part to make America that greatness that Walsh was pointing out that we didn't have anymore? How do I bring that back? How do I actually make it to where we once again are great? And that's really what got me thinking about how to do these Constitution classes and these the teaching of the Declaration principles and really got me thinking about, okay, what are the inputs that would make America great again? And what are those things, those inputs right now that are making America do evil things? How do we get rid of those? And if we will think like that and just simply break this thing down to garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, good stuff out. It's that simple. And so what are the good ingredients that will cause Americans to be powerful, to be in, have ingenuity and create things and do all of the free enterprise pursuit of happiness thing that made us powerful in the first place? So you got to be able to create that power, which happens when you fall in line with the laws of nature and nature's God, and you do things God's way. It's a Deuteronomy principle. I mean, you do it His way, you're blessed. So number one, what are the ingredients that will cause us to do that? And then number two, what are the ingredients that will cause us to use that power once created for good and not evil? And that's the whole reason Patriot Academy exists. That's why we teach the things that we teach, is to get people to just stop for a second and say, what does it mean to be an American? What who am I as an American, and what is it that I really believe? What am I willing to die for? What am I willing to live for? And when you get people to start thinking like that, you can rebuild those foundations and make America great again. And then, of course, this Donald Trump guy comes along. That becomes his slogan. And he actually took some steps in that first term to move us in that direction. But then, of course, as we all know, that the story became even more powerful because of all of the attacks on him and the assassination attempt and all those things made him come into this term with a vengeance for liberty and a vengeance for justice and a desire to truly make America great again and bring about once again all of these things that we used to truly, believe in and that I was raised to want to fight for. So I think that's what we're seeing on full display right now, is a restoration of pride and patriotism in the American value system that we can justifiably say, I can be proud of my country. I can be patriotic. We are using our power for good, not for evil. We're not perfect, and there's going to be presidents in the future, should the Lord tarry, that potentially could be as bad as Barack Obama and Joe Biden and use our power for evil instead of for good or for their own self-interest, which is really the story of Joe Biden. That could happen again in the future, but that's up to us, we the people. But on par, overall, if you take the 250 years of our history and you look at it objectively, I'm saying not even through a biased red, white, and blue lens, just look at it objectively, you have to come to the conclusion, wow, this is a nation that literally saved the world from Nazism and communism and despotism, did not ask the world to then become our slaves, funded the rebuilding of the nations that attacked us, and then turned around and squandered that by just getting fat and happy and lazy. And now we've been awakened by just a little bit of tough times, and we have the opportunity to rebuild the walls and make the nation great again, and we have a leader in the White House that will use that greatness for goodness. I mean, folks, come on. You couldn't live at a better time. You couldn't ask for a better table to be set for us to be able to have an influence and an impact on the world around us in a positive way. Everything that we teach here, everything we talk about on At the Core, everything that American Family Association was created for, I mean, everything in Don Wildman's vision for this, everything that David Barton started Wall Builders for, everything that he and Cheryl have been about, everything that Kara and I have been about with Patriot Academy, all of it points to this moment in time right now to quite literally rebuild the walls and to have not have to do this, going uphill against the grain, against the culture, and against a tyrannical, powerful government that's trying to stop us from doing it, which is where we were a year ago. And that's how I felt a year ago. It's like, man, we're having to do all of this against impossible odds, which is no different than what the Founding Fathers had to do. So I was willing to do it and joyful in the fight. But now we get to do it with the wind at our back. Now we quite literally have an American people that is saying to us, I want to be a part of this. What do I do? And if you're not hearing that in your circles, I just want to encourage you. You need to open your doors and shout from the rooftops. And I mean that in terms of literally your rooftop if you need to, but certainly on social media or at your church. Convince your pastor to let you play a video about the Rebuilding Liberty class and invite people at your church to be a part of it. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you will take those steps, you will find those circles and you will find people that you can lock shields with to rebuild liberty in your community. It's going to happen in communities all over this nation. I think what we just saw happen over the last 72 hours is going to help fuel that fire. I think people are going to start saying, okay, this is a different animal. What can I do to be a part of the solution? What can I do to rebuild liberty in my neighborhood, in my community? I don't want to just watch this train go by, and you know, I don't want the party to happen without me. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to my voice right now, I'm challenging you, I'm begging you, get in the fight. And what I mean by that is become a bricklayer. Be a part of rebuilding the walls in America. Take advantage of this amazing, amazing moment that we've been given, this inflection point in history. You know, there's a lot of ways to do that, but I give you about 12 different ideas on what to do in my new book, Rebuilding Liberty, just in time for the 250th. It's literally a blueprint. So go to patriotacademy.com today, and you can pre-order the book. It's not out yet, but it will be in a few weeks. And most importantly, sign up for our national class. I have failed to mention that on the program. We're going to do a Monday night national class of Rebuilding Liberty just in time for the 250. This is a four-week class. It's going to be Mondays at 7:30, I believe it is. But if you go to patriotacademy.com, you can sign up. It's free, and I'll be live with you on Monday nights for 4 weeks, starting this coming Monday night, June 30th. And it'll just be about a 45-minute video that we'll watch together. It's David Barton, Tim Barton, Victor Marks, my pastor, Jimmy Pruitt, Charlie Kirk, Rob McCoy, lots of folks. Anyway, what we'll do is on Monday nights at 7:30, we'll watch this video for about 45 minutes, and then I'll be on live to talk about what we just learned and what the action steps are. And we'll have a guest every week that's, you know, maybe somebody that was in the video or somebody else coming on to talk about what you can do locally to help rebuild. So don't just watch the news and be in awe of what's happening if the ceasefire holds and you know, all these different things that are happening. Start thinking, okay, all right, thank you, President Trump. Thanks for doing that. Now what can I do? And then answer that question with, be a part of rebuilding liberty in my community. That's the answer. That's what you can do. You can rebuild liberty in your community, and we will help you do that. We'll come alongside you. We'll give you a track to run on. We'll give you a lot of options for how to do that. You don't have to do all of them. You just pick one or two, but everybody can be a part of rebuilding liberty just in time for the 250. All right, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. This is Rick Green. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome to At the Core. Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me for our final segment today. Of course, huge developments in the Iran-Israel conflict. An amazing, amazing turnaround. I even the idea of this little attack that Iran had on our base in Qatar. Is it Qatar or Qatar? I hear everybody say it both ways, and so I don't know which way to do it. I feel like Sean in the TV show Psych. I've heard it both ways. Anyway, I couldn't help but chuckle last night as I was reading about that and realizing that the shelter in place order for Americans lasted I don't know, a few hours. How long was the shelter in place in California by Gavin Newsom hiding from a virus you got a 99.9% chance of survival? I mean, what a difference between the safetyism approach of the wimps that don't know how to use American power and that don't know how to defend Americans and that buy into all the leftist woke stuff, the beta males out there like Gavin Newsom. What a difference in how people get to live their lives when that's the leader versus a Donald Trump who understands what it means to be dangerous, who understands what Victor Marks calls being a dangerous gentleman. In fact, if you never read Victor's book, you should, The Dangerous Gentleman. His point in the book, of course, that you can't be a true gentleman unless you're capable of being dangerous. And you certainly don't want to be dangerous without being a gentleman. And I just think that's the kind of leader we have right now. I think that's what Donald Trump is. He's a dangerous gentleman. And he's willing to use the power for good when it's necessary, and restrain and not use more than he should in terms of that power. And certainly not, you know, I mean, even the difference between the Trump of 2020 and the Trump of today, because you remember in 2020, Trump actually got sold the bill of goods from, you know, Pope Fauci of the COVID cult religion and Dr. Birx and all the other hacks that lied to the American people and lied to President Trump, and he was trapped and kind of had to, you know, it was almost like he had to go along. And I don't think there is a chance in the world that he would fall for that again today. He's a different, dangerous gentleman today, unwilling to be swayed by that. You know, Exhibit A, for what I'm saying to be the truth, his own movement has there's been attempts to make it split in half over standing with Israel against Iran. And you have these people that are, you know, they were certainly part of the MAGA movement. They were people that campaigned for Donald Trump, very vocal supporters of Donald Trump, a big part of helping Donald Trump get over the hump and win. And they have been, you know, very vocally against helping Israel, in my opinion, to the point of buying into a lot of the anti-Semitic lies. I'm not saying they are anti-Semitic, but they are buying into a lot of the anti-Semitic lies, and they're repeating some of this nonsense about, you know, is this really the Israel that's the Israel of the Bible? I mean, that is not even logic, doesn't logically make sense. And in the face of that, President Trump could have easily said, hey, you know what, we're gonna be careful, we're gonna walk a tightrope here, and da-da-da-da-da. No. He stood shoulder to shoulder with Netanyahu. He stood with Israel as we're biblically commanded to do, and he did not back down. I mean, that to me, it tells me this is not the President Trump of 2020. Now, that was a pretty good President Trump in the first term. Frankly, fourth best president in our history. And I even moved him ahead of Ronald Reagan. That's saying a lot for me. But now, man, I'm probably going to have to move him ahead of Calvin Coolidge now. He's going to move into slot number three. And by the end of the 4 years, he just may move ahead of Abraham Lincoln and be number two. I don't think there's any way you're going to topple George Washington out of the number one slot. That would take, I started to say it would take world peace, but he's getting pretty close. No, I'm being facetious. I don't think anybody's going to accomplish world peace other than Jesus Christ himself. And all of these, you know, peace deals are temporary and fragile. And, you know, it is very much peace through strength and essentially the same detente that we mutually assured destruction kind of deal that we've had with the Soviet Union for decades and even now with Russia. So I'm not setting unreasonable expectations here. I think President Trump's already way exceeded my expectations. It's truly, truly remarkable what he's been able to do in just these first, what are we at now? 5.5 months, almost 6 months, about to finish the 6 month. Well, in reality, I mean, he didn't come in until the 20th of January, so really we're right at 5 months. And it is absolutely remarkable what's been done. Now, I do not say that with an expectation that we take any kind of, oh, okay, well, then that means it's all taken care of. I get to take a vacation or I get to take a break. I believe the opposite. I think we press the gas harder and faster right now than ever in our lifetime. This is a window of opportunity, and we have a chance to shove that window open, wide open, and dive through and take back ground. What President Trump is doing right now is he's continuing to give us air cover. He's continuing to boldly take positions that defend the principles of liberty so that we can then turn around and be bold at the local level. I'll give you an example of this. I was with Ryan Walters earlier today. He's the superintendent of education in Oklahoma. And we were recording an interview for Wall Builders that'll air maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. But anyways, first time that I really got to talk to Ryan about some of the things that he's been doing in Oklahoma that are, I mean, quite frankly, they're just common sense. The type of thing we would have done 50 years ago in America, and everybody would have said, yeah, that just makes sense. That's what you do. But right now, they're blazing a trail. I mean, this guy, it is remarkable what he's doing in Oklahoma. He's essentially doing in Oklahoma with education what Donald Trump's doing at the federal level with the military and with everything. And anyway, so I'm talking to Ryan and just some of the things that where he's challenging the status quo with facts and with truth and with history and just, like I said, common sense, basic ideas. Let me give you a perfect example of what he's doing. 25 years ago, when I was in the legislature, I had a mantra about stop treating teachers like assembly line workers. Don't pay the best teacher in the school the same as what you're paying the worst teacher in the school. You ought to have merit pay so that there's an incentive to do better, not this socialism that we've been doing. And the teacher union's got all these contracts done where the teachers are all paid the same. There's no merit pay. It doesn't matter if you do a great job or not. And Ryan has challenged that in Oklahoma and absolutely flipped it on its head. And they're paying teachers, really good teachers, are making tremendous amounts of money because it's merit pay. And it allows you to get rid of the bad teachers. And then the other thing he's challenging, simple stuff. Like if a kid assaults a teacher, you don't put the kid back in the classroom where the kid's now going to run the classroom. And I was saying exactly what I just said 25 years ago. And it would fall on deaf ears in the education establishment. Ryan Walters is absolutely turning the education establishment upside down in Oklahoma, getting the Bible back in the classroom, teaching the right principles. He just had an op-ed on FoxNews.com. He's actually distributed to the schools guidelines on how to handle the teaching of this Israel and Iranian conflict. In other words, he's preventing the anti-Semitic woke left that the teacher unions train, most of the teachers, unfortunately, he's preventing them from indoctrinating the kids with this anti-Semitic rhetoric. That is bold for him to do that, to actually step into the fray on hot topics like that and say, you know what, current events should be addressed in the schools, and it ought to be addressed from a pro-America, pro-American values perspective. I just, man, I'm telling you, that kind of boldness at the state level is hard to find. In fact, his greatest opposition is from fellow Republicans that are weak-kneed, spineless, you know, what I say about some of the preachers in America, they're evangelifish. You know, those wimpy Republicans are the ones trying to stop Ryan from doing these really positive things in Oklahoma. But I use that example. The reason I went down that path is because when we think about what President Trump's doing right now at the federal level, and we see these big, bold moves that he's making, obviously not getting everything we want. Please don't make perfect the enemy of good. But lots of really good stuff. We see that happening. We can either sit back and just cheer, hey, way to go, President Trump, and sit on our couch or, you know, armchair quarterback on Monday morning like I did yesterday. We could do that. Or we could say, wow, look at what he's doing at the federal level. What can I do at the local level? How do I emulate that, at least within my sphere, within my realm of influence? Maybe it's just in your own household, with your own family, with your own church, being more bold, being more of a servant leader, looking for ways to use what God's given you for good and not waste the talent of money and freedom and all of those things. Ryan Walters is doing that in Oklahoma. He's making the most of the moment. He's seizing the day and taking ground back. That's what we've got to do all over the country. I see the opposition being the wimpy Republicans that don't want to take ground that quickly. I'm watching that happen in Texas. I mean, we're just duking it out between Republicans on you know, how fast to go and how much ground to take back and whether or not to give Democrats power or share power with them. I mean, it totally holds up the revolution of liberty that could be experienced. And so when I say all those things, what I'm trying to do is convince you as an individual, as a patriot yourself, as a person that wants to make a difference, I'm trying to convince you to pick up the torch, to say, what can I do in my local area? And I say it out here all the time. I know I sound like a broken record, but you need to be a Constitution coach. You need to be a host of these classes that we're doing. And this new one that we've got coming out, Rebuilding Liberty, it's a game changer. This is a simple 4-week class. It's less than an hour each week. Anybody out there can do this, can host one of these classes. And I guarantee you 100% money back guarantee. The course is free, so I can say that. But I would say it anyway if we were charging. But 100% guaranteed that when you host one of these classes, you are going to be inspired. You're going to get excited. You're going to learn things that are just going to blow your mind. You're going to be given action steps to take at the local level. And you're going to be empowered by the fact that you can make a difference. And the people that you bring into the fold, whether it's just one other couple you invite over to your home, or it's you get 50 people at your church, however you want to do it, the people that you bring into your circle to go through this class, you're going to make friends, you're going to bond, you're going to become close with them. They're going to be your fellow patriots that then go do these positive things in the community. You say, well, Rick, give me, you know, what do you mean positive things in the community? What are you talking about? I'm talking about restoring a God consciousness. I'm talking about restoring civic literacy. In other words, solving the civic ignorance problem that got us here in the first place. Getting people to understand what it means to be a biblical citizen. How do I follow God's commands about how to treat my neighbor the way that I want to be treated, and do that under our constitutional republic? You're going to learn those things. You're going to learn how to restore that God consciousness by getting In God We Trust, the national motto, on the dais of every school board, city council, county commissioner, all of the government entities in your county, in your community. You're going to get the Ten Commandments back into the schools, back at the courthouse, back in these at these government places. You're going to get chaplains in schools. You're going to get the Bible curriculum back in schools. I mean, all of these action steps restore a God consciousness and restore religious liberty and restore civic literacy. Those are the things that will absolutely turn this around. And then there's some big action steps. Those are all actually pretty small. I promise you, when you take the class and you open up that workbook and you see what it takes to do some of those things I just mentioned, you're going to be shocked at how easy it is to get done. And you don't have to do all of them, but you know, get other people in the class to take on some of those projects. And then there's some bigger things like restoring parental rights, getting states to adopt a parental rights amendment, getting potentially adopting a parental rights amendment to the U.S. Constitution to get back to, you know, the founders didn't need an amendment. They understood it's the parent that should decide these health decisions, education decisions, all this. Man, we've let the left take over the education and entertainment so much so that we've now got to have an amendment to the Constitution protecting parental rights. We got to restore property rights. We got to get back to the place where when you own the property, you make the decisions. We got to restore limited government. We got to get government back in its box where it's only doing the things that only government can do and only doing the things that we've authorized government to do, that we the people have said they can do. So there's a lot of those steps that are big. And they'll take a lot of effort from a lot of people from across the country. But then there's a lot of those steps that are simple and easy, and you can do one of those steps. I actually say in the book, The Blueprint for Rebuilding Liberty, it's a 12-step recovery program, but it's not like your personal 12-step recovery program. You don't have to do all 12. You just pick one or two and let somebody else do some of the other ones. And together, we can rebuild liberty. Together, we can take these bricks that made America strong in the first place, truths, the creator being in the equation, pursuit of happiness, consent of the governed, blind equal justice, all these things, these bricks that the foundation and the walls of America were built with, we can rebuild those things, especially if we have the right mindset, which is that dangerous gentleman kind of mindset. And you can be the one to do it right there by your home. And that's the Nehemiah model anyway, right? We're supposed to rebuild by our house. We're supposed to have our sword and our trowel and go out there and do the work. No matter what you do normally for a living or in career or any of those things, are you a citizen of the United States? Then you have a role to play. Do you have rights under the Constitution? Then you have responsibilities under the Constitution. Every single one of us has a duty and responsibility to be a part of the solution. Go to patriotacademy.com today. Get signed up as a Constitution host or coach, and get ready to host your own Rebuilding Liberty course. Now, you can kind of follow along with me for the first Rebuilding Liberty course, which will start this coming Monday night. So Monday nights at 7:30, join me online for the Rebuilding Liberty course, and then host your own in your community. Find out more at patriotacademy.com. Again, Rebuilding Liberty just in time for America's 250th. Folks, we got, you know, barely 370 days to rebuild the walls, rebuild liberty. Help me do it. Go to patriotacademy.com. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Little things can make a difference. A little note. Little smile, the small stone that David hurled at Goliath, and precious little babies. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a big way. Who will this little baby become? What giants will this baby slay? How about the mother who was spared from unspeakable sorrow because of you? You never know the difference you're going to make with a donation of just $28 to introduce a mother to her child through ultrasound. It doubles a baby's chance at life. All you have to do is take a few small minutes to make a life-saving donation. Preborn will take it from there as their network of clinics rescue 200 tiny babies every day and share God's love with mothers. Preborn has a 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Get involved today by dialing pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.